from Matthew chapter 13, verses 53 to 58. And if you're able to, we'll stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. Matthew 13, starting there at verse 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simeon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him, but Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful this evening that we can come together and study Thy Word. We're thankful for the truthfulness of Thy Word. And we pray that as we look at these verses that we would allow Thee to teach us. We pray for Thy will to be accomplished in our lives, that we might glorify Thee with our thoughts. Pray for anyone that walks by, that they might hear the truth, and they might see the importance of the truth, and might want to know the truth in their hearts as well. Bless our time together. We pray that the officials would leave us alone, and we pray that we would glorify Thee in all that is said and done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah, I forgot. So we'll see if this will help. So the title of the message this evening is Don't Miss Out on Jesus' Mighty Works. Don't miss out on Jesus' Mighty Works. Jesus' ministry was to reach as many people as possible with the truth. He did not stick around and just bathe in the popularity of one place. He knew the hearts of the people, and he knew that they were not interested in the truth in their hearts. They wanted the miracles, but they were not interested in turning to the truth. Even though the false religion of the Pharisees was very oppressive, yet the people were reluctant to turn to God in truth. It's strange how people think and act. The same is true today. Many people resist the truth. They are becoming quite disillusioned with their false religion, and yet they're not willing to turn to the truth. The first thing that we want to notice here from this passage is that Jesus' wisdom is amazing. It tells us in verse 4, and when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now we have spent the last several weeks looking at seven different parables that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13. Parables that spoke of what conditions would be like in the kingdom of heaven. And we said as we looked at that the kingdom of heaven is not the church. Jesus is not talking about the churches here in this passage. He's talking about things as they would progress from the time that he was on the earth and into even the millennium. And much of it has to do with the millennium. It has to do with Israel, much of it. God is going to be dealing with Israel again in a very specific manner in the tribulation time in preparation for the millennium. And saved Jews will enter the millennium as well as some others, but there will be only saved individuals that will enter into the millennium. In verse 53, we noted there that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. He didn't stick around. He taught the truth. He taught three of the parables to the general population. And then he spent the last four teaching them to his disciples and explaining certain aspects of them to his disciples. We know from the last chapters of the Gospel according to John that there's much more that Jesus said and did than what is recorded in the Gospels. So we're not given everything that he did here, but we're given what is important for us in this regard. And so Jesus went back, it tells us in verse 54, to his own country. Now his own country would be Nazareth. That's where he grew up. That's where God directed Joseph to take Mary and baby Jesus, Jesus being about 2 years old at that time. But that's where God told them to go when they came back from Egypt, where they had gone to escape from the wrath of King Herod. And so they went back to Nazareth, and that's where Jesus grew up. And it says that when he got to his own country, that he taught them in their synagogue. Now, the Jewish rule still holds today that there have to be 10 males in a community before they can have a synagogue. It's interesting, I heard this week that in Quebec, the government there had limited the religious gatherings to 10 people. And the Jews in Quebec had disputed that in the courts and said that's not fair because we have to have 10 males just to have a synagogue. So that means that our 10 leaders, that's it, that no one else can come. And so I don't know what the number that the government gave in on, but they gave in. They recognized that this was not right according to the Jewish customs, and they listened to them, which is interesting. Every once in a while, the government does listen. Not very often, especially now, but once in a while they do. So Jesus came back to his own country and entered into the synagogue, and he didn't go there to socialize. He didn't go there to just talk small talk. He went there to teach the people. That's something the government doesn't understand when it comes to a local church. A true local church is not, the main purpose of it is not just to socialize. Yes, it is important for us to spend time together with other people. It is important for us to be able to interact with other people. But the main purpose of the local church is to teach the Word of God. That's what Matthew chapter 28 tells us, that we're to go into all the world and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And then it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. And so that's important that we understand that the main purpose of what we're doing here is to teach the Word of God, to learn what God's Word says, to be encouraged through the Word of God, to be strengthened through the Word of God, and if someone is listening and not saved, that they might come to see their need to be saved. That's very important, and that's what the church is for. And that's what we're doing. And the government doesn't understand that. They think we're just a social gathering, and you can do that later on, and it's not important right now. But even the secular society doctors are recognizing that social gatherings are very important. People are having mental issues because they're locked alone and not able to communicate with others, not able to talk to others. And when a person is left to just themselves and thinking thoughts in their own head and not bouncing them off of others, not getting any interaction, you can develop all kinds of things. And we see that in our society, that people are developing all kinds of weird ideas. In California today, there was a shooting. A 57-year-old man went to his workplace and shot 8 people and killed them, and then took his own life. Now, we don't know what all went on there, why he did that, but obviously he was mentally not stable. Spiritually a lost man, and not stable, because why else would you go and start shooting people and killing them? But that's the sad reality when people don't have the Lord. Our government doesn't understand that. The crime that we have in Canada, the drug issues that we have, the other problems we have in Canada, they don't understand that the answer for that is the gospel. And that's where we have to be careful, and we have to be clear that we tell people they need the gospel, they need the Lord. That's the hope of man. Nothing else will fix man's spiritual need besides the gospel. So we have an important task that we're doing here this evening, and we need to see it that way, and we need to be praying for the services that the Lord would be able to work through these services and through me as His servant to reach into the hearts and lives of others that people might come to know God's peace and blessing. You notice here in verse 54 as well that as He was teaching their synagogue, it says, insomuch that they were astonished and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Now, as far as the people were concerned, they thought they knew Jesus. And we find as we move on in this passage that they did not know Him. But they were amazed. You see, it's not normal for a person to have the wisdom that Jesus had. King Solomon in the Old Testament was a man of great wisdom. He wasn't alone. Job was a man of great wisdom. Job had much to offer to his friends. They had nothing to offer him, but he had much to offer them. But that's the way it is when a person knows the Lord. They have much that they can offer others if others will receive it. That's the issue, if others will receive it. And that's the problem that we face oftentimes, is that people do not want to receive God's Word, God's truth. And so here the people are quite amazed at what Jesus is teaching them. And we know from the Scriptures in other places that when Jesus taught, that He was different than the scribes and the Pharisees. He didn't hem-haw around. He didn't have to use the word "ah" to fill in the blanks. He knew what He was going to say, and He said it with conviction. He spoke clearly. He spoke loudly. And the people understood, at least with their ears, what He was saying. They didn't always understand in their hearts. They didn't always grasp the spiritual truth that He was bringing out. But they could hear Him. And that's important, that God's people, that we don't try to apologize for believing in the Word of God. We need to be clear, we need to have conviction, and we need to be bold in what we have to say. The second thing we see is that Jesus was not a carpenter's son. In verse 55, it says, is not this the carpenter's son? So the people, they grew up with Jesus. They knew Him at least from about the age of 2. And they wrongly assumed that He was Joseph's son. They didn't really know Him. If they would have listened to what He had to say, if they would have followed even what John the Baptist said in John chapter 1, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, they would have known that Jesus was not just an ordinary human being. They knew His Father. They said, is not His mother Mary? Yes, that was true. And His brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and His sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? So they were looking at Jesus and they saw Him as just a human being. But yet they knew that there was something unique about Him. You know, that's why in John chapter 3 and verse 16 we read, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That phrase, only begotten Son, some of the perversions have taken that out of the Bible, out of their text, not out of the Bible, but out of their corrupt text. They've taken it out because they want to diminish Jesus' deity. They want to take away from whom He really is and just make Him a mere man. I mentioned before that when I was a boy working for the neighbor, I remember on a Saturday I was helping her clean eggs, and she liked to listen to CBC on Saturday when she was grating eggs. And so I was there, and as a boy I was washing the eggs that were really dirty that she had in the bowl and washing them for her, and then she could candle them and then put them into their, weigh them to see if they were large or medium, and then stick them into their carton. And she had CBC on, and they were interviewing the moderator of the United Church. And they asked him about Jesus. Was Jesus God? And the moderator said, well, Jesus was a good teacher, but he didn't think that he was God. That was back when I was a boy. I would have been about 12, 13, 14, somewhere in that age. And I remember that. That stuck, even though I was a lost boy, I remember hearing that. And I thought, wow, that's interesting, because I was raised in a religious home. And I was taught that Jesus was God, even though there were many things that were wrong with the church that my parents attended. But it did, at that time, still teach that Jesus is God and that he is the only Savior. And so here we see that these people, they missed out on some very important details about who Jesus Christ was and who he is. His mother, yes, her name is Mary. And Mary was chosen by God to put flesh on his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the incarnation. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That was the purpose of Mary. Jesus is an eternal, the eternal Son of God. But Mary was that vehicle that God used to give flesh to his son so that his son could go to the cross and die and shed his blood there for our sins. We see here also, as we've noted in our devotionals lately, that Jesus had brothers and sisters. So Mary was not a perpetual virgin. The Catholics teach that she's a perpetual virgin and sinless and the mother of God. Mary is not the mother of God. She's the mother of the humanity of Jesus Christ, but not the mother of God. And she is not sinless. She recognized that Jesus Christ was her Savior. She recognized that. She needed a Savior. She was not a wicked woman, but she was a lost sinner who needed a Savior, and she had been one that was looking forward to the Messiah coming, and God blessed her with the opportunity of giving flesh to the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, as Jesus was teaching the disciples about the fact that he was going to be leaving them soon, he says, my Father's house are many mansions. And as he was teaching them, the disciples were concerned. And he told them in verse 6 of that chapter, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Thomas, Jesus talked about knowing the way, and Thomas said, we don't know the way. How can we know the way? And we don't know, haven't seen your Father, Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so that was very important for them to understand that. And so Jesus here, he had the wisdom of his Father, different than us as people. As a child, I have some of the character traits of my father. I probably have some of the identity of my father. If someone looks at me in a certain way, they might say, yeah, I can see where you come from. But I'm not the same as my father. There are differences. Every child born has some similarities to their parents, but they're not the same as their parents. Each person is unique. But Jesus Christ was the same as his Father. In John chapter 10, Jesus said, I and my Father are one. They're the same. That's unique. And so he had this great wisdom, as we see in verse 54 and in verse 56, where the people are saying, whence then hath this man all these things? Well, he always had them. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ didn't have to learn anything. He did sit at the seat of the doctors in the synagogue, or in the temple in John chapter 2. But he wasn't learning, he was teaching. He was asking them questions and teaching them. And they were amazed at him, at a 12-year-old boy, at what he was telling them. And that's because he is the eternal Son of God. So the people here, they had missed out on many things. In verse 54, it says, Whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? So they saw some of the mighty works that he did. But the third point we have is that pride keeps man from knowing God's blessings. Pride keeps man from knowing God's blessing. In verse 57 it says, and they were offended in him. See, that's the problem. They thought they knew Jesus. They thought he was Joseph's son. They thought he was Mary's son, and he was Mary's son. But they limited him to just being a man. They didn't recognize him as the eternal Son of God. In spite of everything that he had taught up to this point, they did not recognize him as the eternal Son of God. And so they were offended in him. Now, if I was to stand here this evening and tell you that I am the Christ, you should be offended in me. You should leave. You should get in your vehicles right now and drive away. Because that's heresy. There have been many people, the Bible tells us there are many false Christs, and there have been many that have declared themselves to be Christ. But they're not. They're liars. They're deceivers. They're instruments of the devil. And I'm not Christ, so I'm not even going to tell you that I am, because I'm not. I know I'm not, and you know I'm not. But you see, Jesus here was different. And the people didn't recognize that, and so they were offended in the fact that Jesus, who they thought was just a mere human being, was declaring himself to be the Messiah. Even his own brethren, we noted that in John chapter 7, that they didn't believe in him. They were offended as well, as it tells us here in verse 57, that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. So in his own country, he was not appreciated, not accepted. And even in his own house, his own brethren didn't believe in him at this time. Some of them would later on get saved. But at this time, they did not believe in him. Not sad. It says, but Jesus said unto them. And so Jesus tells them here, and he warns them, he's rebuking them, that a prophet is not without honor save in his own country and in his own house. It's not, I remember as a younger father that some professing Christians that we went to church with, they were concerned because we were going to take our children out of the public school system. We were going to put them in a Christian school at that time, and later on we homeschooled them. And they were concerned, and they said, you know, if you do that, the Bible is going to become just a textbook to your children. And I said at that time, and I still say it now, that it doesn't have to be that way. It all depends on two things. It depends, first of all, on the instruction they get regarding the Bible. And secondly, it depends on what they do with the Word of God. If they reject the Word of God, like Mr. Netanyahu at this time does, he doesn't believe that it's the Word of God. He studies it apparently every week, but he isn't saved. Why not? What's wrong there? Well, he's looking at it as a textbook. He's looking at the history of the nation of Israel being the prime minister. He wants to know what is the past history. But he doesn't allow the Spirit of God to penetrate his hard heart and to show him his need to be saved. So the Bible can be just a textbook to those who reject the God who gave us the Bible. But it doesn't have to be that way. And the same thing here with Jesus. Jesus can be, as the JWs, as Iglesia Ni Cristo, as many other groups, he can be just a man. Maybe a good man, as I mentioned, as the United Church believes, but not God. And the reason is because he becomes too familiar. People always talk about wanting to bring Jesus down to man's level. They want to make him a cool dude. They want to have him with long hair. They want to have him as a rocker. They want to have him as one of us. And he isn't one of us. He's the eternal Son of God, and that's very important to keep that in mind. He's different. And yet, he is our Savior. And no man can be saved unless they turn to God and are saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. So it's very important for man to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. That's very important. And when that happens, that is what changes the attitude of a person. That is what would change people in this town. If they would know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they would see and they would appreciate that this church is open and it's here to help them. We're not a danger to anyone, in spite of the lies that are being told that those who are gathering and those who don't get the so-called vaccine, they're a danger. That's not true. There's no truth to that whatsoever. But many people are intimidated. Our government is pressing that point right now to try to get more people to get the shot because the numbers aren't high enough. They want more people to get the shot. And so they're trying to pressure people and saying, don't you care about your family members? If you don't want to get it for yourself, what about your family? What about your neighbors? Don't you care about them? Well, the fact is, if, in fact, this shot is so good and so necessary, if my neighbors get the shot, I'm not a problem to them, even if I don't, because they're protected. That's what we're being told. But on the other hand, we're being told, well, you know, you might have to get a top-up in another 6 months or 9 months or a year because it may not be enough. So they talk out of both sides of their mouths. They don't know what they're saying. And on both sides, they're lying. That's the sad reality. And most people are willingly accepting the lie instead of believing the truth. Jesus wasn't like that. Jesus didn't lie. He didn't threaten anyone and try to force people, manipulate people, in order to get them to believe in him. That's how the Pharisees operated. They tried to manipulate people. They threatened them, if you don't believe what we teach you, you have no hope of getting into heaven. And there are many religions today that do that. The religion I grew up, that's what they teach. The Catholics teach that. A lot of religions teach that. But God doesn't operate that way. It's true that if you don't get saved, you won't go to heaven. That's very true. There's no heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's true. But that's not an idle threat. That's not something that God is trying to hold over your head and say, you better get saved today. No, he wants you to see in your heart you need to be saved. And he works to show individuals that need. And he pleads with people to get saved. The sad reality is that most people reject everything God does to try to draw them to himself. That's a sad fact. So here we see that a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. They don't recognize the value of the Son of God. And sometimes that's true even of lesser individuals like us as people. The place that a Christian can be the least appreciated is in his own house. His own family. Because you see, his own family sees how he grows up. They know his past. They know that every one of us is born a sinner, not like Jesus who never sinned. But they know that we were born sinners. They know how we behaved, what we did. And then all of a sudden we get saved and they can't appreciate that. They can't value that. And so they try to cut us down, try to diminish that blessing that we could be to them in helping them to see their need to turn to God and be saved as well. In verse 58, we see here that, and he did not many mighty works because of their unbelief. So because the people were so hard-hearted, and they were so unwilling to accept that Jesus was not just a man, it says that he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So even the things that he did, they didn't appreciate them. They didn't recognize the value of those works even. And we know that Jesus did some miracles in Nazareth, but they didn't appreciate what he did. And that's the sad reality of rejecting Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. The fact that a person can be forgiven and saved, you know, the JWs who want to argue, they go door knocking and they tell people that Jesus is not God. The Mormons who suggest that Jesus had a brother, Lucifer. Jesus was the good brother, Lucifer was the bad boy. But you know, they tell you that you can be a god. They reject the deity of Jesus Christ. Iglesia Cristo does the same thing. They explain away Bible verses that clearly declare that Jesus is God. They explain them away. How sad that people would do that. And because of that, they cannot recognize the mighty work of salvation. That's the greatest work that Jesus does. Salvation in the heart of a lost sinner. The change that God makes when someone bows their knee before God and repents and trusts in the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. There's no greater work on earth. Jesus did many miracles. Yes. But every one of those people that he did miracles on, they all died. And most of them died in their sin. A few of them were forgiven of their sin and saved. But many of them didn't even bother to get saved. But that's the sad reality. Jesus couldn't do or didn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. This is not a support in any way for the charismatic movement that says if you would have enough faith, you would be healed. That's not what Jesus is telling us here. But if you don't believe in Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God, you're not going to accept his offer of salvation. You're not going to pray to God. You're not going to ask God to help you if you have a difficulty in your life. Maybe you have a sickness that you can't get any answers for. Maybe God would heal you even. It's not a guaranteed thing. He still is able to heal. But it's not a guaranteed thing that he's going to heal everybody that's sick. But he can direct doctors. He can give doctors wisdom. And we need to be praying right now for our doctors. Because there are things that can help with those who do actually get this virus. Ivermectin has been proven to work. It helps. And so does hydroxychloroquine. Both of them are able to, they cure the virus. But we know that they help. There's enough evidence in the world that proves that they help. And yet our medical profession in Canada refuses to use those two drugs. They refuse to use them. And all they promote is get the shot, get the shot, get the shot. And as I mentioned, a recent statistic says that from December of last year till May of this year, over 4,000 people in the United States have died after they got the shot. That's not being broadcast in the mainstream media, but it's out there. Over 100,000 people have been adversely affected by it. And there's a doctor that I just read about today that he had given the shot to many, but because of the evidence that's coming out, he says, I can no longer promote this shot. He's changed his position because the evidence is coming out against the benefits of it. That doctor is, I don't know if he's saved or not, but he's at least allowing God to show him the truth on this whole shot. And that's very important, that we are humble enough to be taught. And if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can't be saved. And if we don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, we can't understand the Scriptures. And we don't have the resources that we need to go through life successfully. The mental health issues that people are facing today, because they're lost, because they're empty, they have no hope, they're scared. And our politicians and our Medical officers are not offering any hope. They say the vaccine is our hope. The vaccine is our hope. But no, they, on the other hand, they admit, well, it's not all that successful. So the answer to man's need is the same as it's always been. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 3, ye must be born again. It's not an option. That's the starting point. And then from there, we need to get into a good church. If you're listening and you're not involved in a good church, you don't go to a church, you need to start going to a good church. Not just any church. Go to a good church, one that teaches the Word of God. And if you're not saved, get saved. That's the most important thing in life. Get saved. Get to know God's forgiveness and His peace. And then begin to enjoy the life that He wants you to live here and into eternity. It's not just after you die, but even right now. God wants to bless and He wants to guide and direct you so that you can have success in your life. Success is not measured in dollars and cents. It's measured in a faithful walk with God, avoiding the many pitfalls that are out there in the world. This last weekend, I guess it was, I don't remember the day even, that the hockey series is on, and the Jets, I guess they won 4 in a row, I guess, from what I understand, and they won the last game in this series they were in. And the people in Winnipeg stayed up all night, a lot of them honking, driving their cars and honking and keeping other people awake because the Jets won. What a waste of time and energy. That's what brought them excitement. Not church, not someone getting saved, but a hockey game. How sad that that's where people's hope is, many people. And how sad that our governments have turned a blind eye as everybody else is in grave danger because of this virus, and yet the hockey players can get out there. And when you're skating on the ice like that, you're breathing pretty heavy. And I don't know if they've all had their shot, and even if they have, that's not going to help them. But that seemingly is okay. Yes, there can't be anybody in the stands. Nobody's watching. But just those people out there amongst themselves. It's insane the way that our governments have approached this, as if we need that out, but we don't need the gospel. Very sad. But I'm thankful that we have a God who is bigger than man, bigger than our governments. And we need to pray for our governments. We need to pray for our medical officials, our doctors, that they might wake up before it's eternally too late. They might see the importance of knowing the truth and walking in the truth instead of continuing on in blindness and trying to interfere with others who are seeking to help people to know the truth. So let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful again this evening for this opportunity to spend time together in Thy Word. Thankful that we have Thy Word, that Thou hast been so gracious to us as people in protecting Thy Word from the many attacks of the devil, that we can still open Thy Word today and read the truth. Thankful that Thou hast been so gracious to us as well in seeing a true church established in this area. Small town, out in the country, and yet here is a gospel witness. What a blessing that is for this area and for those that are listening via live stream. What a blessing. We're thankful, Father, for every true church that is working and operating today. I pray for the pastors of the true churches that they might be bold, that we might be willing to proclaim the truth, that we would have much wisdom as we need to deal with officials who want to stop us, but that we would present the gospel clearly, and as we have occasion to end up in court, that we might not be ashamed to proclaim the truth there as well, to help those who will be questioning us, that we might not be afraid to tell them why we're doing what we're doing, And it is on a higher basis than what our Constitution says or what our Charter of Rights says. Much higher. And I pray that we could help the officials to know this, that there is a law that goes much higher than these human dictates that are changing and being disregarded as just a piece of paper. And Father, we're thankful that we have this opportunity to gather together. And we pray that we might glorify Thee. We pray that Thy word would go forth in power from this place, and that we could help others to know the truth in these days of grace. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.